Galesburg's Evening News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
5:41 on Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us in our Community Spotlight segment tonight. I'm pleased to be joined by the newly elected president of the Galesburg School Board, Tiana Cervantes. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
You've been on the school board a couple of years now, right?
Yes. 2 years.
Did you ever imagine that you would at one point be elected school board president?
No. I had actually expected a few of the members who stepped off to help continue my acclimation to board for a few more years.
So in other words, they left and said, "Up, you're on your own. Good luck."
Not quite so harsh, but yeah, they acknowledged that they had contributed what they felt they could contribute in the way that they felt they could, and they wanted to start contributing in other ways. So
the last number of years, and I was away from here for a couple of years before coming back, it seems to me that at least in terms of the school district, through perhaps no fault of anybody's except for our friends in Springfield, perhaps, it's been kind of a turbulent time, hasn't it?
It has been, and I am glad that you acknowledged our friends down in Springfield, because I believe that a lot of what Galesburg District is dealing with, as well as many other districts like ours are dealing with, are a direct result of the inability of our folks down in Springfield to really actually do their job and get together and help fund education.
We talked with Superintendent Grimm last week, and knowing that you once had a healthy, say, reserve fund balance, and mm-hmm. that's almost completely gone now. That's scary.
It is very scary. It's, you know, oftentimes I hear community members say, you know, I can't spend more than my budget. And that's essentially where we're at, is that, you know, we had built up a pretty healthy savings account, and we had too many rainy days that equaled years. And we were able to survive off that savings account that, you know, members like former President Bob Lindstrom was part of those boards that got the district to a point where we had that healthy savings, and they did what they could to make sure that the district didn't suffer until the point where we just couldn't do it anymore because our reserves are so low and Springfield's not doing their job.
So from your perspective, what happens now?
That's a good question. I think that moving forward, it's going to be vitally important for our district team to come together, and that's everybody from the new board that was formed last night, to the new superintendent in building the climate that he wants and his team, and then working with our staff, our very hardworking, very talented staff, who have just been overwhelmed of late because of the lack of budget finances and an increased look at mandates and different evaluation systems and different curriculum designs that the state and federal government are really good at developing, but not really very good at financially supporting.
Yeah, the good old-fashioned unfunded mandate
yes,
continues.
Correct.
It sounds to me, are some cuts going to have to be made here going forward, or do you hope that Springfield gets its act together, or is it a combination of those things, or how do you see that?
I would really hope that we are not looking at any additional cuts. When the board made $2.3 million in cuts last year, that hurt our district. It hurt programming, it hurt morale, and they were cuts that I would say that none of us really actually wanted to make. I think what I'm hoping now is that we can look at where we're at and say, how do we repurpose our talents? How do we repurpose the resources that we have in the hopes that Springfield will get their act together?
I'll ask you a question along those lines before I get to some other issues here. Perhaps one of the questions that we reporter types hear from the public all the time when we report on these issues, and you know, you kind of have to say, you know, that this isn't completely the answer, but they always say, well, why doesn't the district just cut administrators?
Right.
And you might argue that there are a considerable number of assistant principals and things like that, but at least to hear Superintendent Grimm say that last week, you know, you really have what you need, and you need those people.
I would agree that we are at a place where we do need the folks that we have on staff. there have been changes, again, going back to unfunded mandates. The state of Illinois passed what we familiarly call Senate Bill 100, which reorganizes the way school systems can discipline children. And the intention of that bill is good. What happened as a result of that good intention was the implementation of discipline, and the steps now when we work with our students in our buildings is positive with them, but it is more time consuming. And so who is responsible for enacting that policy? Oftentimes that's ending up with the administrators, and rightfully so, so the teachers can focus on what they're doing in their classrooms and educating our students.
On a normal day, I'd be out of time, but what the heck, it's my show. We'll go a little longer here. Speaking of administrators, you hired John Asplund, the Farmington Central superintendent, to be the next superintendent for District 205. Good choice?
I believe so. I believe throughout the selection process, he just seemed to be able to answer our questions with detail and with confidence. And I will also say that during our three candidate forum that we held, he seemed to receive positive feedback. And when I was able to visit his district during that selection process, it was really difficult to have anybody say anything negative. I begged people, and it was really not forthcoming at all.
Begging people. I was going to say, be on this end of a radio program if you want to encourage people to say something negative. I kid, of course. But and another thing along those lines, too, I was surprised to hear that even the new incoming, at that time, not yet board members, had a hand in this, too. That must have been pretty important to have.
It was. You know, 2 years ago when I was on that side of the table, I was appreciative that I was able to participate in the forum. I did not have the same level of involvement as the three newly elect members did throughout this process, but it was important to us because of the timing of the hire that they were able to interview, that they were able to get to know the candidates because they will be working with him from here on out.
What do you see outside of the budget and trying to keep finances from going farther south than they have? What do you see as a top priority for the district right now? Perhaps something from an academic standpoint.
Well, from an academic standpoint, one of the things that we voted on last night was a 5-year curriculum plan. And so my hope and my goal is that when Dr. Asplund moves into the position in a few months, that he's been able to take a look at that curriculum plan and bring his expertise in that area to build on what Mr. Grimm and the team has already begun, because I think that it brings to us some cohesion so that we're moving from grade level to grade level intentionally, and that we're preparing our students for what's next on their plate as they move through our school district. And then hopefully to start rebuilding some of our community support and our community dedication to our school district and our students, because at the end of the day, that is our job. That's why we're here. Some of us are volunteers and some of us aren't, but at the end of the day, we all have the same goal, and that is to make sure that our students are receiving the education that they deserve and that they're doing so in environments that are showing them that they're wanted and valued.
Our question of the day centers around the block schedule at GHS, and that had a pretty positive report last night. Does that support keeping things as it is right now, do you think? Or does there still need to be a change made, or does something else need to be done?
As I stated last night, I think it was a good start. I think there were still some questions that I know I had as a board member, and we had some good discussion at the table last night. I think I'm looking forward to some more discussion. I'm looking forward to see what Dr. Asplund's input is. He's worked under both systems in recent years. I think that there's a lot of opportunity in a block system, but I also want to make sure that it's working for not only our college-interested students, but our vocationally-interested students, and for those students that may not really have an idea of what they want to do after they walk across that stage with that diploma.
There seemed to be some concern, and gosh, this sounds awfully familiar to me, with the GEA last night, maybe voicing some opposition to some of the shuffling of teachers around in the district. I guess you can't make everybody happy all the time, but what would you say to them?
I believe and I would hope that, number one, it is understood that we want our teachers working to their strengths. Mm-hmm. We value their skills. They are the experts in the classrooms. And in regards to some of the moves, the way that I understood it was that that is exactly what they were trying to do. They were looking at the talents that our teachers hold and saying, how can we optimize their strengths to make sure our students are receiving the best education? And moves are hard. We get attached to our families, and that's what our schools are. And that's the climate that we want our buildings to have, is that they are our families. And I am positive that whatever ends up at the end of the discussion, that all the teachers can still take that sense of family, that sense of community to the classroom or building that they're going to be in, and help to create that climate.
And if I heard right, you'll have a special meeting with the union here coming up, hopefully, I imagine, to smooth things over, probably?
Yeah, it'll just be to make sure, you know, as some of the concerns were stated, to make sure that nothing was overlooked and that certifications and all of that stuff. It sounded from the conversation last night that there were just a few narrow concerns, and I'm sure that those can be worked out in a meeting.
Last question. On behalf of my colleague, Nick Isher, who's, I think, barely listening in the newsroom right now, you're not going to have any more three-hour meetings, are you?
Oh, I cannot guarantee that.
Sorry, Nick.
I really
tried to help you out, buddy.
You know, we did joke about that last night because it was only scheduled for 1 hour, but I think it was important. And it's important for the community to know that we do discuss these items.
Exactly.
And sometimes those discussions happen one-on-one, you know, over a weekend, but it's important that they understand that they see that work in person.
As much as I like to joke that it should take no longer than the length of a sitcom to get things done, then you really need to take it seriously, obviously.
Yes. And I think last night was special because we operated in a different kind of business setting, allowing folks to share their opinions. And I'm hoping that the folks that were able to share felt heard and felt valued in that.
New Galesburg School Board President Tiana Cervantes, thanks so much for your time. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you again periodically here on the program.
Thank you.